Nice to be here with you all this morning. I'll add my welcome to Matt and Claire's. My name's Zoe. As well as being Claire's sister-in-law, I'm also part of the leadership here. It's my pleasure to speak with you this morning. It's great to see so many faces. As Claire mentioned, over the last couple of weeks, we've been talking about going deeper and reaching wider. And that's because we believe God has given us these words as our vision for this year, for 2020, that as a church in Ashwood, we're going to go deeper in our relationship with God, in our interactions with him and with each other. And as we do that, we're also going to be reaching wider in our influence, in the lives that we touch, in our community, in our family and our friends. So that's kind of the backdrop for what I'm speaking about this morning. But it's also been great to dedicate Tobias this morning. It's really amazing. And as we've done that, as Matt and Claire have led through that, we've mentioned the word family a lot, haven't we? And we know as church that for Owen and Rachel, being part of God's family is really important to them. That's why they've been dedicating Tobias today. They recognise God as their father who loves and cares and cherishes them. I know that they really value their physical family as well, who they share DNA with. There's lots of them here today. That's really important. But they also value their church family, both here in Ashwood and the broader church in the UK and the world. We believe that we're all part of the same family. And I know how much Owen and Rachel value being part of that. And the dedication service we've already had, that recognises the part of the wider church in bringing up children. We're all part of God's family. Owen and Rachel have a really important, the most important, really, role in Tobias's life. But it's really important that they don't parent in isolation. And none of us do who are parents as part of church. We parent in community as church. Church is part of that. And that's why, as church, we've declared some of the things we've declared this morning and prayed some of the things, because we recognise that we are family together and we all play a role in parenting our children. Owen and Rachel and us today are recognising that we're drawing Tobias into that family, that spiritual family. And one day in the future, we hope that Tobias will make a decision for himself, that he wants to follow Jesus. We don't kind of force that on any of our children, but we encourage them towards it. And we really hope that one day he'll choose that for himself and he'll be baptised. As a church, we don't baptise little babies, but we do baptise children and young people or adults when they make their own decision that they want to follow Jesus and be part of God's family. And we hope that Tobias one day will come to that decision for himself. But today I wanted to just explore a little bit about what it means to be part of God's family, because that's what we've been talking about so much this morning. And I'm actually going to use Romans 8 to look at that, which Matt already read a little bit of this morning. That was good, because Romans 8 is quite long. I don't want to read it all this morning, but I just want to encourage you to go away and read the whole of Romans 8 maybe this week. It's really amazing bit of the Bible. It's one of my favourite bits in the Bible, and I think lots of people who know the Bible well kind of think that that's a really good bit of it. It's because it's got loads of amazing promises in that one chapter of the Bible. It's in the New Testament. It's written by Paul, who was someone who persecuted Christians and then had a bit of a revelation. He became a Christian, started to follow Jesus, and then was one of the main kind of influencers in the early church who kind of spread Christianity far and wide. That's kind of the bit of the background to it. But it's really amazing passage with loads of amazing promises. It starts at the beginning of chapter 8, telling us that there's no condemnation in Jesus Christ, which really means that we're free from law, from sin, the things we do wrong, from death, through Jesus forgiving us when we choose to confess our sins and say sorry. There's no condemnation in Christ. The chapter starts with the grace of God, that we're forgiven, that we're free. And then the bit that Matt read earlier is from right at the end of chapter 8. And if you remember, that talks about nothing being able to separate us from God's love. Nothing at all in the world, nothing bad, nothing evil can ever separate us from God's love. It's a chapter that starts with God's grace and ends with his love. And it's full of his sovereignty and how he reigns, how he's in charge. It's just an absolutely incredible chapter full of incredible truths. And one of the things that it speaks about, and this is what I'm going to focus on this morning, is it talks about our adoption into God's family. And for those of us who consider ourselves to be part of God's family this morning, I'm hoping that as we unpack this a little bit, it'll give us a deeper understanding of what it means to be in God's family. And for those of you, this might be your first time in church, or you're not in church very often and you're not quite sure about any of this. Hopefully you'll hear something this morning that'll help you to understand something that you like the sound of or might want to even become a part of. So this kind of word adoption, I wonder how we perceive the idea of adoption. Maybe your perception of adoption is formed by hearing stories of people's lives being turned upside down when they found out that they're adopted. Maybe they've not known all their life that they were adopted by a family. And then you hear these stories, don't you, of like there's some party, a family party when someone's turning 21 or something, and there's all these distant relations and someone will just say, oh, you were adopted, blah, blah, blah. And it'll change someone's whole life radically. I've heard stories of people after their parents have died and sorting through things have maybe found an adoption certificate. And it's this bombshell that really shocks and is really difficult for people to work through. Or maybe you associate adoption being for children who are uncared for, unloved, not being able to be looked after by their own families. Or maybe for you, adoption is something that people only do as a last resort. If you can't conceive naturally or IVF's failed, I know we'll adopt because we're so desperate for a child of our own. And I guess all of those kind of perceptions that we have about adoption can be quite negative. It's kind of something that can only ever done if there's no other option, whether that's no other option for the child or no other option for the parent. It's something that can often speak of pain and of disappointment and of failure, and something that's hard for people to come to terms with. But I think what we're going to read in Romans 8 offers us an alternative view of adoption. Adoption's maybe a story of being loved, of being found, of being welcomed unconditionally, despite what's happened in our past, and regardless of what the future might hold. What if actually adoption, it does impact and change everything, and our sense of identity, but for the better and not for the worse? What if, for those of us who don't feel like we fit in, who don't feel like we belong, who feel like we've lost in life, that there's hope in knowing that we're adopted, loved unconditionally, and welcomed in? For children who have had trauma in their past, who can't stay with their own birth family, being adopted into a welcome, loving home with parents who will love them unconditionally, adoption can bring hope, transformation, life, and it can change the course of their future. And so maybe getting hold of what it means to be adopted into God's family can change our future as well. So let's have a look at Romans 8, shall we? We're going to read from verse 15 to 17 to start with. We're going to read this bit now and another bit later. It's on the screen if you need it, or you can look it up in your own Bible. I'm reading it from the New International Version of the Bible. It says this. It says, "The spirit you received does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the spirit that you received brought about your adoption to sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. If indeed we share in his sufferings in order that we may also share in his glory." So this passage really shows that we come into God's family by being adopted. That is how it happens. God adopts us. Tobias is born naturally to Owen and Rachel. He's got a natural family. His mum, his dad, his grandparents, his aunts and uncles. But for Owen and Rachel, and for all of us who choose to live in it, the truth is we are adopted into God's family as God's children. And Tobias is part of that as well. He's included. We want him to be included in that family as well. So let's have a look at a little bit about what it says. It says there, your adoption to sonship. Now, this would have been really clear to people at the time that phrase, adoption to sonship, referred to the full legal standing of an adopted male heir in the Roman society. Full legal standard of an adopted male heir, and it was incredibly important. This was someone who was often chosen. Actually, if people didn't have a son, a natural son, then they even would choose someone who would become their heir. It might not be as a child, they might choose them as an adult, but they would legally adopt them, legally, to become their heir. So it's really incredibly important. This was someone who was trusted to carry forward the family name, the work, the property. It wasn't half measures, this. It was full trust in that person. They were really taking them on fully as part of their family and son. And it's important that we get hold of that, this heirship, that they were becoming heirs to the inheritance of that family, and they were being chosen to do that. And people reading this at the time and hearing this would have understood that. It's becoming fully deserving of all God has got for us and got to give us. But then it goes on to say, the Spirit, by him we cry, Abba, Father. And this word Abba, this was a term at the time that expressed affection, confidence, and trust. It signified a close, intimate relationship of a father and a little child. It was like the childlike trust that a young child puts in his daddy. It's kind of like that daddy word. It signifies intimacy. So just in this couple of sentences, we're getting the picture that adoption here, it represents being heirs to an inheritance, but it also represents intimacy with our Father God. It's kind of a legal thing, but it's a relationship thing as well. And why wouldn't we want that for our children? Why wouldn't we want that for ourselves, to be adopted into God's family? We're starting to see that adoption is a positive, amazing thing, that we're adopted by our Father God. One of the things that I love about Romans 8 is that it doesn't shy away from recognising that there's difficult things in the world. It kind of talks about that throughout the whole of the passage, that there's wrongdoing, sin in the world. We as people, even as followers of Jesus, we make wrong decisions. We get pulled in all directions. Fear and anxiety are really real in our world. As people, we often feel weak, don't we? Like we can't cope. We face hardship. We face persecution. We face challenges. And actually, Paul, who wrote this, he really suffered a lot in his life for the things that he did. He suffered a load of persecution. So he knew what he was talking about. But here in this passage in Romans 8, we see that among all of that, there's hope. He's really real in recognising that there's difficulty. And even once we become adopted into God's family, there's difficulty. But there's hope among us. And it helps us to handle those things when we know that we're adopted in God's family. It gives us place. It gives us a purpose. It gives us peace. It gives us love. It gives us a sense of belonging. For those of you who don't know, me and my husband Paul, we're foster carers, and this is where I might get a bit emotional. We know for the children that spend some time in our home and we look after, the reality of their life is really, really tough. They always come from situations of trauma or neglect or even abuse. They've suffered a loss, and nothing ever that we can do is ever going to change that. Nothing that we can do is going to change them. And some of them might never really understand the situation that they've been in, or what's happened to them, or they're never going to be able to get their head around that. But the truth is, they're always going to have to live with what's happened to them. They're always going to have to live with the effect that that has on them now, and the effect that it's going to have on them in the future. But our hope is that by bringing them into a family where they're given a place of belonging, of love, of peace, of hope, that can change things for them. And there's a tension in that for us and for them, because they do have to still always live with that pain. But now they're safe and loved. And that's not always an easy place to be. And they and us often struggle with that. But it's also a hopeful place. I'm often told, at least I've got you now. At least I've got you now. And even among all that, at least I've got you now. And that's sometimes how I feel about my relationship with God. I still live in the world. I still suffer sometimes. I still get stressed. I still have pain. I still get anxious. I still have days when I want to just shut the curtains and hide away from everything. But because I know that I'm adopted by God, because I know that I'm loved, I'm accepted unconditionally, regardless of my past, regardless of my failures now, I can say to God, at least I've got you. At least I've got you. And that gives me hope, strength and courage to get through. And the other thing that I love about reflecting on, as I've been reflecting on God's adoption, is that God didn't adopt me because he needed me. He wasn't incapable of having children. He wasn't lonely. He wasn't missing out on having a son. In fact, he had the best, most perfect son in Jesus. He didn't have a void in his life. He is complete. But he adopted me because I needed him. Because I had a void. Because I'm vulnerable. Because I needed the perfect father who would do anything for me. My adoption into God's family was an act of mercy and an act of grace. It was an act of mercy because God saw my need, and it was an act of grace because I didn't deserve it. But yet, God still adopted me. We all need that, don't we? We all need that. And the amazing thing is about being adopted into God's family is it's more than just about the now. So we're going to just look at another little bit of Romans 8, verse 23 to 25. If you want to follow it, it'll be on the screens again. It says this. It says, not only so, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption to sonship, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we are saved. But hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what they already have? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. And this is a little bit confusing because that first passage that we read suggests that we're already adopted. But this bit of the passage suggests like that groaning, we're waiting for adoption. And that it's a future hope, something that maybe we don't have yet. So that's a bit difficult to get our heads around, isn't it? How can that be the case, that we're already adopted and yet we're waiting for our adoption? How can they both be true? When someone adopts a child, there's a moment in a courtroom where an adoption becomes official. Everything up till then has been leading up to it. It's probably been a massive journey. There's been, sorry, Cheryl. There's been a hurt, there's been hope, there's been paperwork, copious amounts of paperwork. There's been social workers, there's been a journey. That child might have lived in that home for a while, it might not have lived in the home, but it's been this amazing journey. And there's an exciting moment in a courtroom where that child, it comes part of that family, and it's a moment of celebration. And it might feel like the end, but it's not. That is only the beginning of the story, isn't it? It's the beginning. Those adoptive parents are not going to walk out of that courtroom and just leave that child at the door, all the work that they've done, complete. That would be complete madness, wouldn't it? That doesn't happen. And adoption is not primarily about the change of a status, going from not your child to your child. It's about a change of relationship. That legal moment is not the end of the story. It's the start of a working out of an intimate and committed relationship that lasts for the rest of life. The bit in the courtroom entitles the adoptee to the inheritance. If that parent walked out of the courtroom on that day and got knocked over by a car, that child is legally adopted and is entitled to the full inheritance from that parent. They're fully legally part of that family. But there's still so much more to discover, to develop in the relationship. And that is the same with us and God. We have a moment, a courtroom moment, where we come before God and we say we're sorry to him. This might be at the end of a long journey towards this moment, but we have a moment where we decide we want to enter into his family, where we say sorry to God and he forgives us, where we're justified, which means proclaimed innocent. The courtroom wipes our slate clean, but in that same courtroom, God also at that moment, he accepts us and he adopts us. And we receive our inheritance at that moment, the right to spend eternity with God as a legal heir. We're declared free and we're declared family. But our intimacy with God, our relationship with him is just beginning. And we're desperately want more. From that moment when we say yes to God, we just start to groan inwardly, like this passage talks about, because we just want more of him. We want a deeper relationship with him. And actually, sometimes, sadly, people give up their journey with God because it's not quick enough, that deepness and that intimacy with God. Because in our society, we want it now. We want everything now. And we might look around and go, oh, their relationship with God is deeper than mine. And it's not always about just time. But actually, we have to... The reality is that relationships take time. To go deep, to get fulfillment from a relationship, it takes time and it takes commitment. And even for those of us who have been and known with God's children for a long, long time, there's still sometimes frustration. We're still longing to go deeper. And that's what our vision this year as a church is about, that longing, that desire, that groaning for each of us to go deeper with Jesus, with God as our Father. And we know that never is going to be complete until we meet him in heaven. And that's what this second passage is talking about. It's talking about the fact that we're waiting for heaven and our completeness of our adoption will only happen in heaven. So it is true, we are already adopted by God. The moment we make that decision, God takes us into his family. But also, we're groaning to see the completeness of that as we develop and press into our relationship with God. It's hope for now, and it's hope for the future. So being in God's family, God is our adopted father. That is an amazing, amazing thing. But the second truth of that is that we all, as God's family, are brothers and sisters together. And in that second bit of the dedication where we all stood up as church and we promised to help Owen and Rachel and with Tobias and pray for him, that is kind of recognising that we're all family together. It's wonderful for Tobias that he has his natural family, but he also has this family that's not restricted by DNA. What makes a family? For those of us who were involved in fostering or adoption, and there's a few of us in Ashwood, we know that that's not just about DNA. That's not what makes a family. And all of us know that earthly families all look different, don't they? They all look totally different. And when people adopt a child, that child doesn't just gain a parent. It gains a whole family. They gain grandparents, aunts, uncles, cousins, brothers, sisters. And that's the same with becoming a Christian. We gain a whole family of people. Church was never supposed to be just a building or even just a group of gathered people. It's a family and one that should always be open to new members being adopted in. For those of you this morning who aren't part of the family yet, we just want to say this morning, you are welcome. You are welcome here. Among this diverse group of adopted children from different backgrounds, different walks of life, who every day try our best to love one another, try to find ways to encourage one another, try to find ways to carry one another's burdens and to spur each other on to love and good deeds. And just like an earthly family, sometimes we get that wrong. Sometimes we have to forgive each other. Sometimes we rub against each other. Because that's what life is like, isn't it, in a family? It's not always plain sailing, but we're committed to one another. And we want to say this morning, you are welcome here among us. And for those of us who know already that we're in God's family, let's be reminded this morning that that is what we are. Let's let that impact us in a new way as we go deeper into what it means to be God's family in the way that we relate to one another. Realising that we're adopted in God's family, that means that we're all brothers and sisters. That gives us a reason, doesn't it, to always work on those relationships, to always be committed to those around us, so committed that if we are needed, we can replace that person's genetic family. That if that person's lost, lonely, on their own, we talk about setting the lonely in families, that we can be family to people who need it. Some of us are blessed to be part of a great earthly family and some of us really struggle with our earthly families. But let's be challenged this morning to be family to one another. But then also, as we talk about reaching wider this year, let's remember when we're not inviting people ever to come to a building. We're not inviting people to come to an event or a gathering. We're not even inviting people to meet our friends, actually. We're inviting them to become part of our family. No matter how different they look to us, they too can be adopted by our loving Father and welcomed as our brothers and sisters. So as we seek this year to go wider and reach wider, to bring people in, to be double, let's remember that's the invitation. It's to be part of our family, adopted by God, our brothers and sisters walking alongside us as a family. So hopefully this morning we've been able to catch hold anew a little bit of what it means to be part of God's family, to be adopted by God, to be, have the promise of full inheritance, to be able to be intimate with our Father God, to be able to recognise that even though things aren't always plain sailing, our security is knowing that we are children of God gives us hope and the ability to walk alongside our brothers and sisters on this journey of life together, supporting one another, loving one another, treating each other as family, always for each other, no matter what. And to our commitment to reach wider and invite people into the family.